Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Good morning again, everyone. A for-profit hospital in New Jersey is advertising U.S. citizenship and childbirth services to pregnant women in Russia. And that's just one of a long list of questionable business practices at Meadowlands Hospital in New Jersey uncovered by NJ Spotlight. They found that the hospital has been pushing lucrative surgeries that may not have been necessary, and that hospital owners have made questionable political donations to people like Governor Chris Christie. Joining me now in the studio and by phone to talk about their three-part in-depth look at Meadowlands Hospital is NJ Spotlight healthcare reporter Lilo Stainton and editor-at-large Colleen O'Day. Lilo and Colleen, thank you for joining me and welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Sarah. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you, Sarah.
All right, so Lilo, I want to start with you. A couple years ago, you reported that the hospital started focusing on ways to increase their revenue system. So they cut nurses' hours in half. They pretty substantially increased the number of same-day surgeries that they were performing, which are lucrative surgeries. They introduced a controversial opiate drug treatment program, and they attempted to treat people with autism using some sort of oxygen treatment that was also controversial, also expensive, also not covered by insurance. And then, of course, there's the promise of U.S. citizenship to Russian women, but we'll get to that later. Lilo, I'm wondering, why does this stand out for you? Is this different from the way that other hospitals conduct their business?
I think it's fair to say it is quite different. Now, some of this happened. I've only been with Spotlight this. I worked for them in the past, but I've only been back working with them on healthcare things for about 6, 7, 8 months. So some of this happened when my predecessor Andrew Kitchenman was covering these issues. But you know, they've also received a lot of attention in other publications. I think it's fair to say that they've had an unusual business model. They've tried a lot of different things. Not all of these have been particularly successful. I think the thread tying all of these together is a need for revenue. And in the course of our coverage, I got to cover a hearing that was related to a labor trial before the National Labor Relations Board. And it was really fascinating to listen to the hospital owners talk about this endeavor. They see themselves as the saviors of a struggling hospital. And it was nearly bankrupt when they bought it in 2010. And, you know, the way that they portray it is that they've put, you know, all these resources and their heart and soul and all these different attempts at creative new business strategies to try to save a hospital, to try to save the jobs of the people that work there, and to try to provide health care for the community. Now, when you talk to people in sort of the advocacy world for healthcare issues in New Jersey, they're a little bit aghast at some of the things that have been going on there. And I think it's important.
Like the treatment services for people with autism.
Exactly.
And can you tell us a little bit about what exactly, why was that controversial?
Well, apparently that was something that was, you know, most autism experts said was essentially useless and possibly even harmless. And I think, you know, we've heard from people
harmful.
We've heard from people since who have said, you know, this would have been tens of thousands of dollars out of pocket, not covered by insurance. So you know, it was sort of a strange path for the hospital to proceed down. Now they invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment for this procedure that never came to fruition. I think it's also important to note that they've instituted a number of sort of money-saving efforts. They cut nurses' hours, as I think you mentioned. another sort of creative strategy, if you will, was they attempted to create a geothermal project on site. Mm-hmm. But spent, you know, more than $1 million and then had to abandon that for reasons that aren't clear.
Okay. So, Colleen, I want to go to you. So we've heard now this is a hospital that has been struggling financially for years, but the owners of Meadowlands Hospital have been sort of generous to politicians in New Jersey, like Republican Governor Chris Christie. Who can you just tell us, who are they donating to and for what reasons?
Yeah, they've been actually quite generous. And I think, you know, one of the things that really stood out is the fact that this is a for-profit hospital means it's kind of like a corporation. And as we know, in this post-citizens world, corporations are people, and so they can give money. So the hospital company itself, the hospital has a very complex ownership structure. It's owned by an LLC and limited liability company, and that is owned by another LLC called Complete Medical Project Management, and that gave $250,000 to Christie's presidential effort on the day that he announced he was running, and it gave another $10,000. So it was a total of $260,000. That's a hospital contributing that much money to a candidate is really unusual because, we're used to kind of the hospital is there to take care of people, to treat people, not there to be spending money on, you know, contributions. But the owners have also been individually. Dr. Richard Lipsky is the chairman of the board. He's kind of known as the head, I guess, person there. He personally gave $150,000. The other owners have all given money. Predominantly, they've given money to Republican candidates in New Jersey. In 2011, when there was a proposal by the state to cut back the amount of money that hospitals could charge for auto accident related claims, like the same day surgeries, kind of things that you talked about.
So is there a sense that those contributions, those donations, were made in exchange for something?
So of course, no one would admit to that. But when you think about it, the State Department of Banking and Insurance proposes this regulation that would cut the amount of money that hospitals in general, including Meadowlands, could charge for procedures. And right at the same time, suddenly the Meadowlands principals are giving tens of thousands of dollars to several New Jersey legislators, including one Assemblyman Wisniewski from Middlesex County, who was a co-sponsor of a bill that, in fact, would have prevented the state from adopting this rule. Wisniewski got about $68,000 from the principals in total. Wisniewski said, of course I didn't put it in for that reason. I was just trying to help hospitals in general. Hospitals in general are struggling. Hmm. But certainly the timing is curious.
Okay. And what does all of this tell us about the difference between for-profit and non-profit hospitals? Is there less oversight, or are for-profit hospitals just allowed to do business in ways that non-profits can't?
Well,
Lilo?
When it comes to the Department of Health, which is the primary agency that regulates this in the state of New Jersey, they are subject to the same standards. Now, there are caveats to that, but essentially they all hospitals in New Jersey, and there are about 72 acute care hospitals now. That number changes pretty regularly. I mean, they seem to be adding and merging a lot these days. But they all have to file audited annual financial statements. They all have to file cost reports. They have to file quarterly data, in some cases, different types of quarterly data about how they're spending their money. There's an early warning system that is put in place essentially to make sure that their finances are tracking throughout the year. And then there are additional conditions that come when they are certified for the first time. There's a process in New Jersey called the Certificate of Need, which is essentially the state's approval to open up a new hospital or to transfer one. And during that process,
go ahead.
I have live radio cough.
Do you need a second?
Or I
you
can do.
Move on to, okay, we'll move on to so we'll do a call out. Listeners, if you maybe you work at Meadowlands Hospital Medical Center, or maybe you've had an experience at a different for-profit hospital and you want to share that anecdote, or you have a question for one of our guests, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Colleen, why is this a problem? Like, who does this affect? The fact that for-profit hospitals can do business in a way that nonprofits can't.
It affects every single one of us because just think about it. It's the cost of healthcare, really. You know, it affects the people who are paying. It affects the insurance companies, and it affects the whole system. You know, what's happening? Insurance costs are astronomical. Hospital costs are high. Healthcare costs in general are high. So, I think it really affects everyone because they're part of this very complicated system. Just to kind of finish maybe some of what Lilo was going to say. One of the problems with Meadowlands is that they're not filing their audited financial statements in a timely manner. So the most recent form that we could get was for the 2013 year. Their 2 years, 2014 and 2015, they have not filed. So it's kind of hard to keep track of what they're doing. Now, from the financial statements that we did look at, we saw some very questionable expenses. For instance, they have spent money to buy equipment from an ambulatory surgery center that is owned by one of the principals. They also spent a couple million dollars, or $3 million, I think it was, to develop some computer software and a website. Again, this is a company that was known for violent video games, and yet they used that company to develop their software and website. That company also owned by one or two of the principals. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, has to leave questions in your mind. You know, there's no, you know, looking for the highest bidder or the lowest bidder. There's no... You know, it feels like they maybe do not have to file those kinds of rules that of, you know, good practices or of low-cost practices that others do.
And I was just going to add, I think it's also, you know, we've been talking a lot about the sort of financial side and that picture and sort of what may sound like a lot of paperwork and process stuff, but there is sort of a healthcare application as well. Now, the hospital has had a number of inspections by various, you know, state and federal safety groups, and they have found troubles. You know, some of them are issues with documenting things. Some things are tracking medications from the pharmacy to the patient, and nothing. You know, some are issues with cleanliness and sterilization. No one that we could document has been seriously harmed by these lapses, if you will, but I think it shows sort of there's a question about how sort of the hospital is operating as a whole and whether the owners are sort of taking a responsibility for that sort of day-to-day operations. I mean, it feels like they're running around putting out fires and starting new business lines as opposed to sort of looking at this in a holistic way.
Okay, and I want to go to a caller. We have Rhiannon in Baskin Ridge, New Jersey, who wants to talk about this from a consumer's perspective. Rhiannon, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I don't have a lot of experience with for-profit hospitals, but it was once recommended that my daughter get a procedure at Meadowlands, and Meadowlands didn't take our insurance, and so we talked about cost ahead of time. And we were told the cost would be $5,000, and it seemed like a lot to us. And the hospital staff immediately backtracked and said they could negotiate. And it just felt odd to me that our access to health care for our daughter would sort of depend on our ability to negotiate prices.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You want to chime in?
Yeah, I think that. Thank you, Rhiannon. I think that's a really interesting point. And it seems like you're not the only person that had that kind of experience. There seems like there's a lot of sort of negotiation that goes on with bills. You know, the way that this story came to us was actually through a former patient who had had a an experience. I think she had had a procedure there, and the person, the bill was quite high. It was astronomical. And so there was a sort of a process of challenging that went on, and it eventually came down, but the whole experience was very unsettling for this person. So I think you're not alone. And it's interesting to note that insurance companies have also gone to battle with Meadowlands Hospital a number of times. I mean, the hospital has been locked in court for years with the nurses union, or the healthcare union that represents hundreds of workers there. But they've also gone to court with a number of insurance companies that claim that they're just not, you know, taking care of their responsibilities.
And Rhiannon, I'm just curious, what was that conversation like? The negotiating the price of this procedure that your daughter was going to get?
So we ended up choosing a different hospital. So the conversation didn't go very far. I mean, I thought it was pretty shady. And so my husband and I informed the hospital staff that we felt that way, and we said, you know, we don't really want to take this further. We're going to go to a hospital that participates with our insurance, and that's what we did.
All right, Rhiannon, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay, I want to go to Tom in Seabright, New Jersey. Tom, you have a question for Colleen.
Yes, I do. Good morning. Thanks.
Good morning. Welcome to WNYC.
You mentioned, your guest, you mentioned that there was quite a substantial $100,000, $250,000 donation to Chris Christie, or I like to call him Crooked Chris, to use a Trump term, his campaigns. Was that you didn't mention, is there any quid pro quo you see, or were they hoping for a lighter touch on regulation or something in the future, or did they get some favors in the past? Could you explain on that, or I just can't believe they just gave him that money just out of goodwill.
Well, and that's, many other people can't believe they gave him the money out of goodwill as well. The Christie administration's response was, of course, there was no quid pro quo. They say that they have done more monitoring of Meadowlands Hospital than any other hospital in the state, that may be true. I'm not sure, but certainly there is a lot of monitoring from the state of Meadowlands, and the state has recently been imposing a lot of fines on them for missing those financial reports. I think a lot of this comes back to, at least from what I've found, to that regulation that the state banking Department of Banking and Insurance wanted to put in, which would have capped the amount of money that the hospital, that all hospitals, but that hospital could have charged for these auto insurance-related procedures. There was a hearing shortly, around this time, that where there was testimony that said that Meadowlands had charged for one procedure, thousands percent more than you could get it at an outpatient facility, and this had really got the insurance industry was up in arms. There was a lot of contention. So that what happened with that is that the bill that I talked about didn't go anywhere, but at the same time, the regulation that the department put in place is much, much lighter than the one that was originally proposed. So they can still charge substantially more than if you had the procedure at an outpatient facility, but just not as much as they used to be able to.
Okay. Thank you so much, Tom, for your call. I want to move on to some of the issues of birth tourism that you reported on, Lilo.
Sure.
First of all, what is that would be
what
the hospital's attempt to recruit international
Correct.
Pregnant patients. What is birth tourism?
Birth tourism. Well, this was news to me, and there are plenty of people, your listeners, I'm sure, who are saying, well, she just doesn't know what's going on these days, because we found out it wasn't unheard of, but it is not sort of common, I think. It's different from sort of the classic sense of anchor babies, which gets a lot of sort of play in some media circles. But this is not a case of individuals who come here with their families in tow to have another child in hopes of staying in America and creating a life here and making a go of it here. It's very different. This is an upper middle class family from a nation that may have political or economic instability or environmental questions, that want to come to this country, and by having a child here and paying for it out of pocket, that child is immediately entitled to citizenship under the 14th, a clause in the 14th Amendment that was actually was created to make sure that the children of slaves could have citizenship. So it has this interesting history. But now that it doesn't, while the parents have no immediate rights, it allows the child all the benefits of citizenship as well as access to, you know, potential college or the credit system. There's some interesting military, you know, they can get out of Russian service in some cases. It's quite popular, turns out, not just in Russia. It's quite popular in China, and I'm sure there are plenty of other countries that, you know, are involved in this. But it's really an insurance policy for upper middle class families.
Well, I mean, immigration laws are – it used to be the case that if you had a child in this country and you were an immigrant or an undocumented immigrant, you could become, you could get, yes, gain some kind of status in the country. But immigration laws have changed a lot. It's a lot more complicated, and you report that – it would take several decades, yes, for the Russian mothers to actually be able to even just apply to be, right, able to be citizens. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think, you know, and the site, from the way that the website, which is now pulled down, but I noticed, I checked this morning, the Facebook page is still live. The way the site describes it, this is really a visit. I mean, this is a 6 month or four. It's less than 6 months because that's usually the length of the visa. You know, it's really pitched as a vacation. You know, there's shopping, there's tourism, there's all these great things you can do. And then you have a baby in the process and you all go back and you have these, you know, they talk about going back with a full suitcase and a, you know, a happy heart, you know, and a new baby.
And I guess they're also marketing this New Jersey hospital as being in New York City, which is interesting.
Yeah, we always like that in New Jersey.
Yeah. I want to go to Stephen in Edgewater. Stephen, you work at a not-for-profit hospital?
I was part of the advocacy group on a professional basis to try to hold on to St. Vincent's Hospital. So back in 2011, which was a Catholic Charities hospital that went, quote-unquote, into bankruptcy. And what I wanted to do is step back and just make the point or ask the question, is there really a distinction between profit and not-for-profit? My experience with trying to protect St. Vincent's Hospital, even though it was positioned as a not-for-profit hospital, a lot of money was being siphoned off. They had bank accounts in the Cayman Islands. There was all kinds of activity that was going on there that would lead you to believe that they weren't behaving like a not-for-profit hospital. So is there a real difference in the behavior of those two kinds of institutions?
Colleen, I'll let Colleen, you want to take this one? And also maybe, I mean, would this Russian childbirth services be, would that exist at a not-for-profit hospital?
I mean, I can't imagine that it would because it's just kind of, it's just, it, I mean, it boggled our mind when we heard about it. You know, certainly it seems, the rules and the regulations seem such that what Steve was describing shouldn't be happening at a not-for-profit hospital. So that's, you know, it's concerning that kind of stuff would be. The regulations, at least in New Jersey, are such that, you know, we hope that the state regulators are watching and are making sure that doesn't happen and are checking the audited financial statements. That's certainly something that I think maybe we need to take a look at, is look at some of the our not-for-profits and make sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen. I mean, I can tell you in the case of Medellin's, the principals paid themselves, Lilo, correct me if I'm wrong, is it about $9 million by now?
Yep.
You know, so over the course, this is only for, again, that we've got their audited financials for 2010 through 2013, and they've paid themselves about $9 million.
Thank you.
They talk about the hospital struggling financially, and yet, you know, they haven't stopped paying themselves or giving themselves and their other investors money. So.
And this program that we're talking about, which is called AmeriMama?
AmeriMama.
AmeriMama. Yeah. Okay, they're charging between $8,000 and $20,000.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we're talking about, you know, people with money. I learned through your reporting that hospitals recruiting international patients is actually like a real thing.
Correct.
It's a national practice.
Yes.
I can't imagine that they're all recruiting pregnant women. Who are they recruiting?
That's an excellent point. Yes. So it is not uncommon paid tourism for medical tourism is what it's called. And it's essentially, it is a revenue stream for hospitals, but it's also an opportunity for people who are abroad who may not have the same kinds of health system that we do to come here for specialized care, cancer treatments or, you know, certain surgeries. But the point, that's a very different kind of care. Experts were telling me, you know, look, pretty much every country can deliver babies safely. That's not a specialty niche. So to come here for that, it's a different reason.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me, Lilo Stainton and Colleen O'Day, reporters at NJ Spotlight. You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Sarah Gonzalez.